Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Springworks Podcast. I am Miss Muffin Top 2020.
Ooh! Where is that? Do you have a name to go with this? Miss Muffin Top 2020?
Nah, I've just been pile on the pile.
You're just
recently.
Miss Muffin Top.
Seem to stop stuff in my face. I felt like when I said hello a minute ago, I sounded a bit like Nicole V7.
Hey guys,
it's me, Nicole.
Hey guys, it's Nicole. And hey guys, it's Nicole. You know what? No, she needs to really slide back into my sort of YouTube searches, because I do spend a lot of time these days. You know, it's cold nights, so I like to sort of get to bed a bit early, get all tucked up, you know, all tucked up like a wee worm, and just kind of go through YouTube. And I think that she might be making a return. And you know what? Maybe a guest appearance on our podcast at some point if she's still in the business.
I hope she does. I hope she rises from the ashes like a phoenix and comes out on top. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it happening. I don't see that in the cards for her. I'm sorry.
I would love to see what's on the cards for her, because, you know, she's fallen off our radar. And I would love to see her grab a beach. All I can picture now, by the way, is the, you know, Conchita Wurst that was in Eurovision?
Yeah.
Rise like a phoenix. That's in my head now, so thank you very much for the Nicole reference and for Conchita Wurst, bitch.
I'm glad I didn't listen to that song enough to know any of the words, otherwise I'd be the same as you, but luckily...
Fierce Queen.
I didn't take that on.
Yeah, well, one sentence is that, and that's fine. You know, I'm not going to go around ranting and raving and saying it's on Spotify. You know, there's shit on there that I wouldn't express in the open. Yeah. Though I do have the Halloween 2018 soundtrack on there, and it's really awkward sometimes.
Of course you do.
You know, of course I do. Bitch, I'm human.
What if you're like getting dicked down and then fucking...
I'm like, this is my journey. Everywhere I go, I see the same. And it is, to be fair, it does creep up sometimes. I'm having like a few wee drinks, having a kiki and a ha-ha and a hoo-hoo. And I leave, I'm the one, you know, I'm Mr. Max DJ set up in here. And then that song does come on. I'm like, sorry, you guys. yeah, DJ.
Well, I have to tell you, like, this was, you know, yesterday, and I posted it on Instagram, I don't know if you saw it. And I don't know if you've seen it, but if you haven't, you need to watch it. But on Netflix, Girls with Balls. Oh, my God. Have you seen it?
Okay, so I have to get something off my chest. I've seen that you've, like, doing a whole big hoopla and doing a post about it, but I watched a half hour of that film and I turned it off. It was infuriating me. It was just not my cup of tea.
Wait, did you watch it when it was dubbed?
No.
You watched it in French?
I watched it in French, darling.
Right, okay.
I did not play around with those dubness. I think it's
awful. Well, how far did you get into it? Because I thought it was, like...
Fair enough.
Insane.
But why?
It was so good. Because I felt like it was in the sort of like same tone as Dalen Tucker versus Evil. Like it was kind of like a more of a black comedy type thing. And I just thought it was like bonkers and like absurd, but like in the best way. Like it just kind of felt like so many things that aren't necessarily supposed to be in a horror were, and it just kind of... It just worked. I just thought it was so wacky and like out there, but also at the same time like real badass and fun. Like, and when you get further enough in, it's really good. But also equally as stupid. And you know our brand is stupid.
Hold on,
dumb
one
horse.
Little tiny goddamn minute of a motherfucking second. Everything you just described is exactly what The Cabin in the Woods is. Yet you have such a problem with The Cabin in the Woods. Yet here's this film called Girls with Balls, which I watched a half hour of, missed thing, and I had it off. I was not playing nor featuring any of that bullshit. But for you, I will give it another watch. I have to. Since you've announced it to the world that you love this film, I have to. I can't do that to
a system. I was genuinely surprised that you didn't, because I thought it was just bonkers and stupid enough to be right up your alley.
And I am going to choose to take that as a compliment, but I don't know.
But you should, because it is a compliment, because that's our brand is dumb.
You're like, it's so stupid, dumb, it's hideous, it's got no brain cells. You love it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
that is true.
It's got, like,
that is very true.
It's got like a singing narrator. Like, when has there ever been a horror film with a singing? And it,
exactly.
And it sounds like, and it sounds like that'll be like the worst thing.
Yes,
but it's when he sings what he sings about, it's funny. Like, it, and it, you can't tell me that it's not like a lol riot.
Okay, I think I
teehee'd the whole way through.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I might have to just sink my teeth back into that one, and just, I don't know, pucker up, buttercup, and just get it over and done with. But it was like another film that I put on as well. It was like a Polish slasher, and it's mm-hmm. called something along the lines like "Don't Go Into the Woods Tonight," or you know what I mean.
You won't. Is it like it's called "You Won't Sleep in the Woods Tonight,"
Or "You Don't Fuck in the Woods Tonight"? I don't know. It's something about being in the woods.
Yeah.
And I had,
yeah, I've seen that around.
Yeah, and I had that on. I fell asleep, and I woke up and it was over, and I was like,
"Oh, really? Yeah,
that's not good." No. I don't know if it's because the film is boring or because, you know, the bitch might have been a little something or something. But yeah. there was a combination of things going on. And when I woke up, I was like, I have no intention of watching this again. And I think that's bad.
You were just a sleepy Susan.
Just a very, very sleepy Susan. Hard week at work, of course.
But my I've got a big gripe against Netflix because for some reason it decides to put out like a bunch of like different like shows or films that like a Netflix original, and they just badly dub it in English. I'm like, I don't need to see a badly dubbed show or film. Just give me the subtitles. Like I'm smart enough to kind of, you know, I can see both the film and the subtitles and completely understand what's going on and what they're saying, and also laugh, cry, whatever at the same time. Like, it's just because it's a different language doesn't mean you can't connect with what's going on, because when it's got the words in English, you know what's going on. Like, it doesn't make
you
any sense.
You would be surprised how many people
completely
don't.
Dub. It's always these really bad dubs. You're like, oh,
it's,
God, you just ruined it. You ruined,
like, flat
what?
The way they speak.
Yeah.
It's like, did you ever see that video? I think it's like one of those really sort of iconic videos that go around. It's from like Trolls 3 or Trolls 2 or something. And it's the guy with the glass. And he's like, oh no, they're eating them. And now they're going to eat me too. Ah. And it's like, so iconic, being terrible. He's got these glasses. The slut shit was like, every dubbed film is like that.
Yeah.
So I don't play around with those sort of games. You know what I mean?
No. When I find out it's dubbed and you can't switch it around where it's not dubbed, I'm like, well, you've just lost a viewer because
you have.
I'm out.
I'd rather not watch it at all than have to sit and listen to that shit. And sorry, on the sort of subject of listening to shit, if anyone hears those loud bangs in the background, that is not gunshots. We are not in the hood. That is just fireworks. But I do have to put that out there because they're going out quite frequently. And a bitch could be thinking, you know, if she's from America, she could be thinking we're in the roughneck ends of England. But that doesn't really happen here. People use knives.
Yes, people use knives. This just took a turn. I didn't know where it was going.
I'm sorry, I just had it like the whole single time that you were talking, all I could hear was like boom, boom, boom in the background. So I just thought, you know, I don't want people thinking I live in the hood or on the streets.
Well, don't worry. I'm
fancy, darling.
I can't. I can barely hear.
Oh.
Excuse me. I can barely hear.
You barely hear? I don't think you can barely talk in this thing.
I can't today. I'm just going to go to bed.
Oh, bitch. Although I do.
Just put me in the bin.
I already put you in the fucking bin years ago, Heaney. I do have to say, though, there was a film that I've watched on Netflix that I really need to try and make you watch. It says fucking girl with balls, bitch. Don't you come up in here with your girls with the balls, bitch.
All right, tell me the film, come on.
I've seen it come up on Halloween, which I had no intention of watching on Halloween, but it is called His House. And,
oh, right, okay.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say that hubby Halloween then for a second.
Girl, no. Although it did try and trick me in, because the choice of photo that it uses is like of people wearing ghost face masks. And I was like, ha ha ha. You thought you could get me, but you can't.
Yep. Try again, dude. Right, so what? So his house, is it? It does look really good. Is it any good?
I personally thought it was brilliant. It's about these two refugees that obviously come over to start a new life in America. America, what? In England. I think I need to go to bed too, bitch. They come to start a new life in England, and they lose their child on the way over. And then when they move into this house, this sort of like ritualistic witch that comes latches onto them for reasons that I'm not willing to give away. And of course, they start to love inside the house with them. And then as the man's sanity starts to go, he just makes the house more and more derelict. And it sort of just invites them in more. And I chose to watch it by myself with all the lights off, right? So I was sitting there eating some pizza. And I had all the lights up, and like my brain, I was scared. Of course, I was scared. I was terrified.
Oh, really? But
I was really spooked because I was sitting in pitch darkness by myself, which I don't do anyway. And this film is, you see the sort of like ghostly demon things when it's in pitch darkness. That's the only time you see them, when the lights go off. So I was obviously a little bit ooky spooked. And I found myself like having excuses to turn on the lights. I was like, oh, I need to have this light on because I need to see the pizza that I'm eating. You know what I mean? I was like,
well, that's the thing, right? Both of us, like we've said it before, like we don't get scared by horror films. Like we don't jump in them like that. But if there's going to be any kind of horror films that do make us jump or like freak us out or fuck us up, it's going to be like ghosts or demons, apparitions. Because I think it's because of the nature of it, it's supernatural, so you can't explain it. Like, you can explain someone's like gone mad and they just want to kill everyone, or they're just or whatever. You can explain a human doing bad things, but if you've seen it on the screen or something that's really scary, like your imagination just goes like off the charts, and you can imagine anything like coming up like out. Because whenever I go to like the scary thoughts, like ghosts are gonna get me kind of vibes, I always imagine like someone's like lit, or something is like stood right outside
the
bedroom window, and that's kind of like at head level. Of if I sit on my bed, it's kind of at head level, so then because they're quite low the window, so it just that freaks me out.
That's what it is.
I get it.
That's what it is. It's not like this. So it's not the idea that someone's going to burst in now and get me. It's the like when I'm sat facing the TV, there's not really, it's like your setup as well. There's not really like a door. It's just sort of like a doorway frame, and you kind of walk into like the kitchen, and it was in pitch darkness behind me. And I could just, the fear of someone just stood there watching me was as much scarier than someone trying to murder me. It's just so much scarier that there's someone just stood in the darkness. And when you do watch the film, which, if anyone's listening to this, I cannot recommend it enough. It's like, it's really thought-provoking as well as it's like terrifying. But even the sort of like the things that live in the wall and the people that are in the wall are terrifying. Really scary to look at. And that's just, it will stick with you a bit. And I think that is a good thing, bitch.
Yeah, and what I say, whenever I think of a ghost, I always think like female ghosts are a lot scarier than like, I always think female ghosts straight away. And when I was a kid, up until I'd say like my late teens, I would always get freaked out by even though it's not a ghost, by Reagan, because that face is just, it's universally like scary as fuck 100% when you're a kid.
Terrifying.
But as an adult, I always think of the Lights Out bitch, because she is scary.
Does she give you the spooks?
She gives me the shit.
She's
like, I'm not even joking.
Oh, girl.
I swear. Like,
I would personally blame out in the bad takeaway, but Miss Thing from Lights Out, too, bitch. I think of when things that scare me sort of like ghostly, I'm not your typical like female or male sort of ghostly figure. My brain jumps to like Lipstick Face out of Insidious, or the fucking what do you call the one in The Conjuring 2, and he's got like the smile and the little top hat over his eyes.
It's not Slender Man, it's the, what's
you
he
know
called?
You know
what
I'm talking, he's like called like the
yeah,
Crooked
it's
Man.
It's called something man, the Crooked One, that's
you
it.
Know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like, I think for me it's more like hair. I always imagine like lots of hair and like long, like witchy hand claw. Like, it's
Oh, hair.
Like, and also, I always think of like, just, and speaking of hair, That is a brilliant, brilliant segue. I didn't even think of it either.
You mean you thought of it the whole time and this was your plan?
No, I honestly didn't. But since I cocked up that segue, I will just get into it, shall we?
You say cocked up, I think, like, entered smoothly.
Okay. You say so. No, this today's episode, we are going to be talking about the 2020 Hulu hit Bad Hair.
Who?
Which, the...
Hulu?
The, yeah, Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu. Go on, continue.
Yeah, Hulu.
So, would you like to just care and give us just a little snippet? Just give everyone a little teaser for anyone that has never heard of Bad Hair or never heard of it. Can you give us just a little taste of what this film is actually about?
Sure, I am happy to do what I came here to do. but some reason cannot do today.
It's not, it's one of those days, girl. It's the first episode of November.
That's it, that's it. But for all your talkers up in here, Bad Hair is a film about a woman in 1989, and she works at like an MTV-esque sort of like music station, TV station. And she gets pressured by her boss to go to this salon and get a new weave so she kind of like can impress people more, you know, be more kind of what society wants to see, so to speak, quote unquote, less black, basically. And so she decides to go get this weave, and then what she doesn't know is that the weave is got. I wouldn't say cursed. It's like a witchy weave, and it's like a witchy soul. Yeah, a witchy weave. There's like a soul in the weave, or like a demon in the weave, and the weave gets up to some business. Mm. It's after blood. It's after blood.
She gets carried away with her bad self, let's just say.
She does. But I have to say, off the... right at the top, which I always do, right at the top, the cast of this is just amazing. Mm. Like, I could not, like, get over the cast. How many, like, great people. So many, like, fun cameos. Like, the Kelly Rowland cameo. The, Nicole Byer cameo. I was just
Kelly
living for all
Rowland,
the old.
Usher.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. That I felt like the cast is when the film started. I didn't really know sort of much about it. I knew kind of the synopsis. I knew that was definitely something that we had to do an episode on. I was like, part slasher, full time comedy, like tongue firmly planted in cheek. And then I was like, seeing the cast, like the best way to put it, like unravel. You know what I mean? Like the cast and the talent was just like unraveling. Just even right up until the end, you were still getting these little, you know, like just little like cameo side characters of like really, really famous actors.
And what's great is I knew most of the people as well because it was all great people. I've seen so many things of them all. I mean, I think I only really didn't know was the main
chick,
I think that was her. Yeah, but I think that was her first film. It said introduce and then her name, and then a few other kind of side characters that I'd never seen before. But for the most part, the cast was just like off the charts,
Yeah. It was definitely one of those films that relies heavily on the leads and the actors to sort of carry it on. Which isn't really, I think these days, a lot with horror film, it kind of depends on the drama, but here is drama sort of created, just by kind of comedy, do you know what I mean? It's something that you wouldn't necessarily take serious, and you can tell that they're not taking it serious, but serious enough that it doesn't dip too far into like a spoof, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it, that's what I like. I do like the fact it wasn't a spoof, it was just very much like you said, tongue in cheek. It knew its place. It knew where to really lean into the comedy and when to obviously not.
And I think the sort of best thing about it too was just how it plays mainly into the sort of like racial hierarchy that there is within that sort of like, you know, and that sort of business and stuff. For you watching it and before going into it, would that have been your sort of main appeal, or was it just the sort of sort of like fun slasher element of it all.
No, do you know what? Because when I watched the trailer, I didn't get the vibe there was going to be any sort of like slasher element, which there was, which I kind of wish we did more of, but you know, greedy.
When are we not?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So when watching the trailer, I didn't get that vibe at all. I was just super intrigued as to like what the story was and what the deal was with the hair. Like it just. I was just extremely intrigued. I'm like, that is something that I have to see.
Mm. And like,
and I'm glad that I did.
Oh, absolutely, because you can just tell anyway. There's so many more layers. Pardon the pun. Bitch, you have an ear with a pun, bitch. No more food puns today.
I wonder how many hair puns we can.
We'll see.
Crack out today.
Right, my brain's already gone into overtime, but you can just see like, and I think that's probably what I appreciated the most is that it is a comedy. It lets you know that it's a comedy. A film called Bad Hair is going to have those elements in it, but it too had like a lot to say about that sort of essentially sacrificing your own like authenticity and your own race for this sort of hair, sort of for everyone else, for it to turn out to be like the one thing that's sort of killing them all, and the one thing that when the film goes on, the characters become less and less like themselves that they were at the start. And I just think it's, especially in this current climate and the sort of films that the genre is pumping out, that like social commentary, this is very much in there. Like, you play dumb but you're smart.
Yeah, and like you said before, you know, it kind of touched upon that. You know, there's a point where it's flipped and it's said like, oh, the hair, it can make you feel like more of yourself, when actual, when you're watching it, that is further from the truth, because this cursed witchy weave turns you into someone completely different, to the point where the witch then wants to, you know, take over the whole body. That's you know, that's the goal, so to speak. But and I also really enjoyed the folklore of it all, and it wasn't like a straight up like possession type thing, or like a, you know, crazy possessed weave. It was like a, you know, this is like a folklore superstition urban legend.
Yeah, because I was going to ask what your like sort of opinion was on the idea of like this weave being the killer and the sort of origins of it, because I don't really think we've ever seen something like that, or if we have, it's like plays like too much into the silly, like when like it's a killer fucking dick and shit, you know what I mean?
No, I thought it handled that kind of aspect of it brilliantly, because it tied it back into you know, slavery roots, and it kind of, and that's how the folklore it, you know, is told. So it I know, I don't, I think it did it very smartly. I think it was a very, very intelligent film. Very intelligent film. But being extremely intelligent, and you know, at some point, you know, points funny, stupid, you know,
it was a lot
of things in one. Yeah, it really does.
It ticks many a box. And I don't know about you, but my sort of favorite thing about the introduction of the sort of whole wave thing was that we just had like Lurveen Cox just
coming
out of the blue, like the goddess that she is, just to be there for like 5 minutes and fuck off again.
Yeah, but the thing is though, when I was thinking watching it with her scene, if you're walking into that cell and she in the room, she is the spookiest bitch of them all. I'd be like, she looks real spooky. Like she had the way she had her makeup, and the way she just felt witchy. I was like, I don't want to, you know, get some witch hair. Like, give me someone else. But obviously, that's the person she was kind of like. You have to go to if you want, you know, you want to make your deal with the witch.
But I thought
she's definitely leaned into the witchy vibe with Laverne for sure. But I thought she was. Fierce.
So I want to ask you something more along the lines of kind of, I was about to say like a conspiracy theory. Not really a conspiracy theory, just to see your opinion on it. But do you think like Lorraine Cox is the sort of...
Who's Lorraine Cox?
Bitch. Laverne Cox, sorry. This is Lorraine Kelly. So do you think Laverne Cox is the sort of like instrumenter that she's the sort of one playing the puppets, or do you think like, do you think she's in on it, or were you getting a sort 100%. Of vibe that she hasn't a clue, like she hasn't a ball day what's happening?
Oh no, she knows everything. I think she, if she isn't a witch already, she's you know, like if she's not possessed already, I she's definitely the, maybe not the only one, but definitely one of the ones that's getting, you know, these witchy weaves
out. That bitch was possessed, like whether it was by that fucking witch or not, that hair was thirsty, bitch. She wasn't possessed by no H2O demon. I'll tell you for free. I was like, girl, thirsty, bitch. Thirsty, bitch. Yeah.
But I thought she was great. Like, she's always an angel on the screen, but I thought she was class.
Yeah, and I love seeing anything, to be
class
honest.
Act. Oh, me too. Act. Anything she's in, yeah, anything she's in, I'm like, ooh, look at
that. Sulky voice. Yeah. She has that really sulky, smooth voice that could really, like, put me to sleep, but not in a boring way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and she can also put a bitch in a place.
Oh, 100%. She could clock a bitch.
And do it with a smile on her face.
Oh, she's bad. She's a bad bitch. And I think that this film was actually crawling with bad bitches. Like, I mean...
Oh, 100%.
Like, Vanessa Williams, who I didn't even think was going to be in this film, might I add.
But the thing is, like Vanessa Williams is a goddess. Like, she's a legend. She's an icon. So... anytime I see that she's connected or involved, I'm like, then that is something that my eyes need to watch, because I know if she's involved, it's going to be something major. And it was. She was, and thought she was brilliant.
Mm.
And I think she, you know, she'll always get compared to being Wilhelmina Slater. I think that's just one of the,
you know
some
character
people,
very well.
Yeah. But I do think she just... but she, you saw it in Desperate Housewives, and all the things that she's been in, she does play strong women who have a sense of, like, I don't need to be liked, or, you know, unapologetically, you know, just authentically herself. Like, she does a really good job at being those really strong women who are just like, I don't give a damn. Like, and also a boss bitch, so don't play with me.
Yeah, I feel like... I will say that she almost, I wouldn't say typecast, but she seems to sort of fall into that same-ish sort of role that she does beautifully, like, and perfectly.
But it's not the same, though. But you can't,
I
can't
think
put
it
her...
feels the same. I really think it feels the same as Wilhelmina
Slater. Yeah, I get why, because, you know, she's Vanessa Williams, and you put her in a, you know, a power suit, and you give her a bitchy line, and you're going to go back to Wilhelmina Slater. However, you put those two characters side by side, they ain't the same. Like,
I think it's just like,
but it's easy to
draw the lines between the two, and I think that because she does it so well, Vanessa Williams does being a boss-ass bitch who has her own office and a tight suit better than she even does herself. You know what I mean? She's like second nature. It's who you expect that, like, when she, like, finishes filming, she goes home and I just expect her to be like that. I expect she floats around life with that attitude, which we know is not true.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was I just thought it was great. And I love the fact that she played a character that she had, you know, the most of the movie she's, you know, the boss and you know, and acting, you know, as you would do. And then she turns into, you know, the evil. Mm-hmm, and it just, I've never seen her in that kind of light, which was nice to see her playing like that kind
very
of
playful
villain, very that villain, so to speak, or you know, that kind of, she's been a monster, so you've never seen her do that. And I like the fact that we got to see so many actors in this film do be in a horror film and have horror scenes you would never you've not seen before. That was really interesting. I liked that a lot.
I don't know about you, but I actually found her character to be, like, quite likable. And I'm not sure if they wanted her to be likable. Obviously before...
Who, Vanessa Williams?
Yeah, obviously before she turns into the Grand High Witch. Bitch. But I don't know if the purpose was to make her sort of likable, but I did like her. You know what I mean? And I was confused whether I was liking her because it was Vanessa Williams or because the actual character herself. What do you think?
No, I agree. Like, there was something that you did like about it, even though you knew she's up to she's up to some tricks. You know, she set poor Anna on her path to, you know, Witchy Weave Town. So she you know, she...
The Witches,
you know,
of Weaverly, but... please.
That really tickled me.
I'm here all day, bitch. Sorry, did I throw you off?
Yeah, no, you didn't know. But no, she was very likable. At the same time, being the person, you know, she played the villainous role. So, but like you said, at the same time, very likable.
Very likable. Moving on, this sort of, I want to talk about more importantly the sort of like other cameos. What would have been your favorite cameo out of like the main sort of like central belt cast?
What do you mean?
What would be your favorite cameo?
The best cameo.
Yeah, bitch.
Out of the main cast, but the main, that doesn't make any sense because a cameo isn't.
Don't you know? You know exactly.
A cameo's like a pop hit.
You know what I'm saying. You know what?
The way you phrase that question confused me. Do you just want to know which one of my favorite cameo is?
Bitch, at this point, I don't even care if you tell me what your favorite meal is.
That question was phrased.
What's your favorite cameo? There you go, bitch.
Nicole Byer, when she plays Anna's neighbor, and they kind of stood on the stoop. They're talking about the guy that
they're running rapes them all.
Talking about the landlord, and stood outside. And I just think it's really funny. And then when you see it pop in, and she's got the new weave.
And then you know it's coming for her. I'm a very, very big fan of Kelly Rowland's involvement in this. And
I like the songs she did. Oh,
I think it's an actual bop. Like, I was thinking after, I might have to look that up and perhaps see.
Yeah,
I
was thinking the same thing. I wonder if there's like a she released, because there was two that I heard that were different. I was like, well, surely they wouldn't just record like three lines of a song. Surely they'll.
You never know. They could do it like. You know when Black Mirror released and they had that like Miley Cyrus episode, and Miley Cyrus and the episode had two separate songs, and then anywhere you would go out in like the gay village, they would be playing those songs, and I was here for it. I want that, like that's the same sort of energy. I want that for Kelly.
Well, I just looked on Spotify while she was talking, and it looks like they are real tracks.
Are they there? Were they created for Bad Hair, or were they like songs that she kind of already done?
Spotify won't tell me that much, but I'm assuming it's songs for the like the soundtrack rather than Kelly's song.
Is the artwork of Bad Hair?
Yeah.
There we go. Brilliant.
It's Bad Hair original motion picture soundtrack.
There we go. There's Spotify. Bitch. There was you over here saying how many seconds ago that Spotify doesn't tell you that information? There you go.
Right, you asked a question that Spotify can't possibly tell me the answer to, but I've forgotten that question instantaneously.
There's one thing that I know that we will agree on, and that is how much of a fucking ride her dad is.
Oh my god.
The daddy's elf in the film. Who loves folklore? Girl, please.
Stupid hot. I would climb that like a tree.
Stupidly hot. I can't even put into words how hot that man was.
Just tasty.
I need to know who he is, where he's come from, like his address perhaps. That would be good. It'd be really helpful. And then maybe just find out other films that he's been in so I can go stalk him some more.
Have you not, you don't know who Blair Underwood is?
Nope. Is that who he is?
Come on. Yeah, he's been like, oh my god, he's been in so much, like, just you name it, he's been in it.
Okay, so now that I have his IMDb up, I recognize him, but I think it was his hair. That sort of like really cool, sort of grey, wispy hair.
Salt and pepper hair.
Yeah, oh yes, and the like little hoop earring. I was feeling his like late 80s, early 90s vibe that was going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the fact that it's set in the 80s and the fashion. Yes. It's like. And the colours, I thought, like, the cinematography was just stunning. And there were so many different elements that made it interesting. Because, like, there was a lot of these very colourful backgrounds and backdrops and lighting. And they had also, like, a different kind of vibe when they were doing like the hair stuff, mm-hmm. and the there was a shot like, and it's right at the end where, you know, it's the tree, the mossy yeah. tree. But I thought that shot was stunning to watch, but very different from, like, say, the neon type, very colourful scenes yes. that you get. It's and you would think it'd be hard. It'd be like, oh, it's a bit of a mismatch, but it wasn't. It worked perfectly because the moments that were kind of that were neon and stuff like really worked. And then when it was time for like the folklore stuff, it worked to be for it to be a different tone, yeah. a different kind of.
I think it was color. I think it was like the cinematography, as you said, it's like it's so polar opposite that it's like deliberate, that when you see the yeah. folklore and the actual tree, it's all these earthy tones, because here is the yeah. origin, here's what we see, here's it coming stemming written from the earth,
here's the past,
yeah, here it is, like what, like, you know, unfiltered, here it is unearthed. And then when we're in the city and it's all colourful, like, here's where it's gone. You know, here's where it is, like, in the fanciest street, in the fanciest place of, like, the neon-covered city. You know what I mean? In the 80s. So there you get everyone's all colourful, and there it sits as a fucking hair extension. And it's very yeah. much that, like, there's it unearthed, and then you've got them natural colours, and then it exists in this, like, neon-painted world, because here it sits for glamour, and it sits for fashion, and it's just, like, you know what I mean? It's just really cool. It was, like, you take a folklore, and you, like, slice a chunk off, and you throw it in yeah. the 80s, and it was very that, and I thought it was very American Horror Story-esque, the whole thing about it, and even, like, the cinematography sometimes was very, the way American Horror Story, like Ryan Murphy and all, would kind of just frame his shots. You know, you'd have like,
yeah.
the shot would have like the character's head, like kind of like low down, and then you'd have like so much room above their head. You know, those sort of shots.
yeah,
and like,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you look at them, they're like, these are weird, but they work. It was like, that was the sort of vibe I was getting.
And there was that, shot that I don't think I've seen something like it before of, you know, when it's Anna sat down with Vanessa Williams, who's played Zora, the, you know, company exec,
yep.
and and Anna's explaining her like ideas and stuff, and the camera is just like turning around the room, so you like you see like the wall, it's yep. new, and then you see Anna back to the wall again, then it's Vanessa, and but their conversations keep going. I just thought it was just really like strange, but like in the best way. I was like, oh,
it was this, the timing. So that yeah, it goes at the same pace and speed, and as it comes around, it just matches exactly where their dialogue comes in.
Yeah,
and it was very flawless and satisfying.
Yeah, very, very satisfying.
Yeah, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, I'm going to perhaps dive into a little bit of the sort of negative side of Bad Hair, because while I do think it was a good film, I do think there was a healthy chunk and portion above it that was a bit problematic. The first one yeah. sort of being, for me, the effects or the scenes that the hair was involved in. Now, before I sort of yeah. go on, what's your sort of standpoint on the whole zhuzh?
I feel you on that, because there's a moment like in a salon later on, and there's like there was two characters that kind of get thrown.
Yep.
And yeah, and they hit the floor, and like the head like splatters blood like straight away, and I just thought it was kind of strange, because they only got like flung across the room. And, you know, it wasn't as if like they got like slammed. You know what I mean? It was
yep.
a little odd that they died straight away, and then yeah. It was the special effects of that blood, I think it was, that kind of, like, that didn't sit well with me.
I wouldn't even say the blood. It was my biggest problem when it came to the sort of horror elements and aspects was the hair salon scene, point blank period, just because the way the hair was, the way it wrapped around the body, the way the body fell to the ground, the way the body yeah. hit the ground, everything about it felt really clunky and, like, really like shoddy and thrown together, and it just was so off-putting. I felt like it kind of just pulled me out of it, because it was just really awkward to the way it was yeah. all presented, I think.
I saw that, and I get that 100%. There's also a few moments for me where it was just, I think, I don't know if it was like my screen watching it, but like there was moments where it was so dark, the whole thing, I couldn't really see much, and I'm assuming like a lot of like important or key moments were in those bits, but I got the gist of what was going on, but there was just some things that I didn't actually see. And I don't know, like I said, if that was because of my screen or if it was the film, because there was definitely some really, really dark moments. I was like, I can't make out what exactly is going on, but I think I can kind of
see,
get it.
I know what scenes you're talking about, but I didn't have that problem. Are you talking about when there's the sort of exchange in the offices at night time?
Yeah, it wasn't
that dark for me, but I know what you're talking about. It was a dark scene, probably for a long time.
Like they could have done with maybe like just like a background light in there, like just somewhere, like even if it's like a neon like exit sign, you know, to kind of like give it some just an extra bit of light, obviously.
If you're going to have a whole neon gig and zhuzh up in this, I'm like, take it further, bitch. You can't take it any further with the neon. If you're going to dress everyone head to toe, sickening, might I add.
But there was one bit in all that kind of stuff where I couldn't quite see that was the moment that got me in the film, where it was kind of like you saw Anna, the main character, and like all of her hair like going wild, and the back of her is like pitch black, and then you just see like Vanessa's face like pop out, and it was just so freaky, and like I wasn't seeing it coming. I was like, oh bitch,
yeah,
you scared me.
I'm a big fan of when they have like villains and stuff that have like sort of glowing eyes, because you will always get that shot of there's a fucker stood somewhere, and you see his eyes, or her eyes, or its eyes. And that, to me, is the freakiest. Because we are forever staring into dark corners or dark streets, and you can't see nothing. And your brain sometimes makes you think that you can see something. But the freakiest point is when someone's got them little beady glowing eyes, as you can see exactly what they are. And that shit freaks me out. So when Miss Vanessa was up in that corner, acting the ookie spooky, you know, when they walk past, you can see her everywhere.
She was just like floating around like,
I mean, her fucking hair, Medusa. Jesus Christ. And that, I won't lie though, I don't know if it's intentional, and I really don't think it is intentional. That's why it's like going on as like an eh. But the hair was just not cute. I'm like,
which hair? Whose hair?
Everyone's hair. I'm thinking, I'm not talking about just their weave, I'm talking about when the hair goes crazy and turns into a villain. I just never liked the look of it or the effect of it.
I liked the wildness of it all. I mean, I think it could have been a little bit creepier.
Yeah.
Because it did really seem, but it was, like, nice hair, like, just going everywhere. But, there could have been another, like, creep element to the hair when it was doing its like wild thing, not when it was just being like, you know, bouncing and behaving like when she's in the office. Like when it's going like wild, it could have had more of a creep factor to it. Mm-hmm. I get that, but I like the fact that it had a mind of its own and just was just going buck wild all over the place. It was just kind of everywhere. I really enjoyed it. It was very busy, very busy.
Your choice of using buck wild is so on point. That's the best way to describe that hair's action, was buck wild. I think I would have liked it the way, you know, it sort of turned Vanessa towards the end, the way it kind of made her into this sort of hair monster with just glowing eyes. I kind of wanted it to turn them into like some sort of like hair witch, you know what I mean? Instead of turning into a massive frisbee with legs coming down, like swinging all about, knocking fucking lampshades over and shit. I want it to be more like I don't know, something a bit spookier, I think. But then again,
yeah, there were times where it was a little bit like on the octopus side, the way it was kind of moving, where like I said, it could have been more, because more on the creep, sort of like mossy, because that's the folklore was the moss haired girl. So I was wondering if, you know, if at some point you might see an apparition of the original moss haired girl or what. We didn't get to see that, so I thought maybe they might incorporate that in the hair, but it still worked for me. I mean, that's only like a little like
I think
it wasn't a huge thing.
I think it was like, this is one of the very rare cases of a horror film, especially ones that have slasher elements, where I'm not like, oh, you know, that something should have happened a lot sooner. This is the very rare occasion when I was like, everything happened when it was supposed to, even though like it took a bit of time for something to fully happen. I was fully invested, mainly because one of the most uncomfortable scenes that I think I've witnessed all year was the wave scene, and that
hook
going onto your scalp, and if that is really how it is, my heart goes out to Annie.
Well, I don't think that's
not to that extreme,
because she's being witchy. She's like, I'm gonna put this witch hair in your hair, so I've got to get it like in and make it, because the point was to make it bleed a little, you know, for the hair to be like, ooh, I'm evil hair.
Yeah.
That's why she had to like, right, you know,
I must that
cut her a little bit and get, yeah, because, well, you don't notice it right early on because you're thinking she just can't do hair or what, but then you kind of, I realized, so what, like when it was like, oh, made it clear about the blood, I was like, oh, that makes sense as to why she made her bleed. But I, like you, I was like, oh, I was like, I don't,
it was really uncomfortable.
Well, it's like I could not imagine what that must feel like. It must, you know, so, you know.
My heart goes out, you know, kudos.
Props to anyone. Props to your mama doing that. Anyone that gets weave, braids, anything, because it, you know.
It looks fucking painful.
It does look
But
painful.
You know what? This is why we have these conversations, because I would never have picked up on the fact that she made her bleed for that. Yeah. And to be honest, there was points going on in the film, I'm like, why is that fucking weave sucking his blood? I was like, what the fuck is going on? I thought it was going under their skin. I don't know why. I thought it was like going to go underneath all their skin and stuff. And I don't know why. I just expect a little bit more, which I know sounds stupid. But when a film's called Bad Hair, I want it to be the baddest. I want it to be the nastiest.
I mean, I really loved the scene where she's shagging Julius, and she's getting real red wild for life. And then literally her hair just goes mad. She's like smashing the glass, and she's just like slashing away, and her hair just like all. But at the same time, she's like killing someone. Her hair's going mad. She's also having the best orgasm of her entire life. For life.
When's being a freak in the sheets?
Yes, like,
am I the best she ever had? Have you shagged my granny? Was that you? You know, yeah. And I'm like, bitch, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. But yeah, I want to know now, Miss Thing, what your overall verdict is for Miss Thing Bad Hair.
Overall, I mean, it was just excellent. You know, it was visually exciting and stunning. I thought the story was great. I mean, I could have had a bit more of the backstory, the folklore. That I found that really interesting. So I thought, oh, we could have tapped into that maybe a little bit more. But you know, it had fun kills. I liked it when Vanessa Williams died, because you didn't know she was going to get it. I was like, oh, she's getting it. Like, then this film's just not taking anyone, you know, for prisoner. I thought that Lena Waithe was like MVP. She was really funny at the end when she was like, you know, bopping around, faking that she was dead, and you in the, you know, in the dead body weave stuff. You know, there was that, you know, the scene where Anna walked in the room. It's like, all the employees at the desk, but they're all covered in the weave, and you thought that Miss Thing was dead, but she wasn't.
Yeah,
I thought she was great. And there's some really fun moments, and you know, as a white person, it's I really enjoy having a glimpse or an experience of different cultures, because you know, I would get bored just watching, you know, stuff about
white people caught up by other fucking white people.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to experience, like, different stories, and this was just, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
What would be your axwins, Mary? How many axwins out of 10?
I am giving this a big, fat, whopping 8 out of 10.
Ooh, 8 out of 10, baby.
I didn't know what I was in for going in, and I was just, like, thoroughly surprised. You know, the cast was insane. You know, like everyone just said, I just had a really fun time watching it.
Good. And that's, you know, I think that's sort of the main objective of a film like Bad Hair, for it's, you know, the reason why it exists is that people watch it and come away and, you know, have an amazing time like you have. I think that, you know, it's really, I don't know, it just has its finger on the pulse of, like, contemporary, of sort of what's going on. And as you said, it's, like, a good insight to see horror movies express sort of repressions and angsts that exist in cultures other than dumb white people doing dumb white things, being killed by some weird killer. It's good to see those sort of experiences. Just, like, mundane, like, other cultural experiences just like expressed through horror, and that I sort of loved the most about it, because then you could see the real tongue-in-cheek element that comes along with this sort of horror story of the bad hair and what that represents. And I just thought all that was really, really juicy, and I was here for it. I will, however, say that the scenes itself were inadequate. I felt like when it came to the horror aspects, and I found myself really enjoying the film without not all of it, but a majority of the horror elements, kind of sort of put it off for me a bit just by the way it was done. But overall, I enjoyed myself. I thought it was like really clever, and it was like quite funny. And that just for me, it would just be like a 6.5 Axe Wounds out of 10, unfortunately for me. But I'd still give it another watch. And guess what? I'll probably end up buying it on Blu-ray, because I'm a slut like that.
But I don't think you will be able to, because it's a streaming site. It's a Hulu official, and we don't get Hulu. Cause...
Damn it. Do they not even still release Blu-rays? Like Hush, for example. I know that's like a Netflix thing, but I'd love to get my hands on that too.
I just don't see the point in a streaming site releasing a film on a DVD when they can just...
Stream it for life. I know. Some people just like the way it looks. That's me.
Yeah, too. Just to wrap up, I do think it's really exciting that the past couple of years or so, we've gotten films like Get Out and Us and Antebellum
and His House.
And His House, and this film that and other films about immigrants and stuff. And I think what's really exciting about that is seeing how horror can be incorporated in different cultures with different races, and how their experience of their lives, what are their like their horrors.
100%, yeah.
I always find those kind of films a lot more interesting than just your shit like Insidious 17. Like we don't need to see another Insidious movie. I'm sorry, we just don't. But we do need more films like this one, because it's so important that people outside of that of these races are watching these kinds of films. And even though I will never experience that or know that experience, I can still relate to some elements of how Anna felt, or you know what I mean. There are things, even though there's big cultural differences, but there are definitely moments and or scenes where you're like, I can relate to that on this kind of level, 100%. So, and there's always things you can relate with people that are from different backgrounds.
Yeah, I think it's because they feel like true originals, because here are like a bunch of films that aren't, as people like to do it. Like I seen when His House has come out and everyone's comparing it to Jordan Peele, and I'm like, you're only comparing them because it's of black cast, about black characters, of black directors, that they're not of the same ilk. You can't compare, but what you can compare them to is that they're true originals, is that the reason they make such an impact, like Bad Hair, is because here are stories that we haven't seen before, not because they have a black cast or a black crew with black characters. Yes, it's that, but it's because they tell stories of black people that historically the horror genre, like most genres, just does not cover. And that's why when you have the likes of, you says, how many Insidiouses and how many Conjurings, how many that, they all feel the same, because they are all the same, because they have the same sort of characters going through the same stuff. And these sort of films, they're originals because there's a purpose and there's a reason and there's a representation behind them. And like the best sort of horror films, Hereditary, like It Follows, Get Out, they all have something to say about...
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people, and it's just ignorance, that just, since Get Out, they just think every film after Get Out that, that either talks about race or deals with, racial issues, or it's just, a film led by a black cast.
Yeah,
they only know Jordan Peele. It's like there's so many more black creators out there that, so it's not one person creating like all the films about black people. There's so many creative people out there with so many different stories that we haven't heard yet. And this is why it's exciting that we're finally seeing these stories. And it's like, yes, this is what I want to see. I want to see all these different
stories
or different ways of telling stories, or this different ways of telling the same stories we've already heard, you know?
Yeah. And hey, white people, Jordan Peele has nothing to do with this film, okay? Just to let you know.
He may be brilliant and busy, but it ain't Jordan Peele. Like, just let it go.
He's busy, but he's not that fucking busy. Oh, Jesus.
She a busy bitch.
She a busy bitch, bitch.
Well, I think on that note, you should go over to all of our social medias. You should go over to Instagram at
Spilling Guts Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter.
Spilling Guts Pod.
Follow us on Facebook.
Spilling Guts Podcast.
And go to Spotify, iTunes, wherever. Rate, subscribe, like. Send me a dick pic, please.
Review. He's forever asking about these dick pics. Not one of you has slipped up and give him the dick. So, you know, have a word for yourself.
Yeah, someone please slide into my DMs because, you know.
We're in another lockdown, folks.
We're in lockdown 2.0 and I'm probably going to get fat and sassy. Yeah. So, you know.
I'm going to send it, eat bread and get all fat and sassy. All right, so it's going to be lonely times again, folks. So if you're in America and you're dealing with all, you know, the elections and shit, come join and help a sister out over in the UK here. We're also going through our own little tough times. So help a gal. Help us help you. How about
that's goodbye then.
Deuces.
Adios.